What's up, football fans? Danny Kelly here again. I'm joined by Jackson Bevins, and this is week two of Deep Balls. It's the weekly NFL picks podcast for field goals. And, last week, Jackson and I did pretty well. I went 12 and five. What did I do? 12 and four. And Jackson went 11 and five. Our against the spread pick suggestions went 2-1-1. And without further ado, let's just get right into it. Jackson, how are you doing this week?
Oh, I'm doing great, man. I was staring at a really, really nice week. 11-3 through Sunday, but went 0 for 2 on the Monday night games. You, however, had 12, and if you weren't the only person on the planet who picked Washington, man, you had a 13-point win.
Yeah, I was a little bit bummed because I was watching the Red Zone during the Sunday action, and it looked like Washington was going to pull it off for a while there. And then I guess late in the game the Dolphins kind of took over. But yeah, that would have been good to get that. It was cool to kind of get the San Francisco one right, even though I never really root for San Francisco. And then let's see what else. I got Buffalo. That was another underdog one I think that I picked, and
Yeah,
then Kansas City over Houston. So that was it was a fun week.
you had a great weekend, and I'm looking at the Deep Balls Pick'em group on ESPN. And if you haven't joined yet, but do have an entry, feel free to enter it into our league. Compete against Danny and I. We've got 95 people in it, and as a group, we did really, really well. We had what was it? Let's see here. I'll give you an exact number. We had 66 of the 95 were in the top 30% nationally this week. So that's really nice. Danny, you're in the top 3%. I'm in the top 10. So really a nice start to the week, given how difficult week one is. And I want to give a special to KJ Miller and who's the other
Chris
one?
Kilby.
Chris Kilby, there it is, who both went 14-2 last week and are basically in the top tenth of a percentage nationwide and currently lead our group. So great work to you guys last week.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, it's actually I'm glad that we did this. Another big thanks to Joseph Muldoon for putting this together, because this has been kind of a fun way of competing against each other. It's not just us talking into the void. Like, we're kind of putting our money where our mouth is a little bit and competing against everyone that listens. So it's been cool to have that. So let's just go ahead and get into the weekend or the week slate. Obviously, the Thursday game is going to be a good one. It's Denver at Kansas City, and that to me is one of the toughest games to pick this week. It's been interesting to see where the line has gone and things like that. But who do you have in that game for the Broncos and Chiefs in the AFC West grudge match?
Yeah, it's funny how down on Denver everyone is this week, considering that they beat a playoff team last week. But it's the way they did it that really is disconcerting. Defensively, they looked really, really good. But the Ravens have kind of a history of 4 or 5 times a year making the other defense look really good. It was the offense that struggled. They couldn't run it. Peyton Manning was off. I mean, there's no way around it. He looked off, and he looked fairly noodle armed too, which has always been the concern since his neck surgery. Is at some point the slowly diminishing velocity he has is going to be too much, and we might have started to see it last week.
How old is he now?
Let me see.
39.
Look up his Wikipedia page. 56 years old.
I'm not saying how old does he look. I was wondering how old he actually is.
Yeah, and I mean, I'm sure Denver will be fine. They still have one of the five best top to bottom rosters in the NFL. I'm really bullish on Kansas City this year and really bullish on Kansas City this week. Thursday games are very difficult for the road team. You're already sacrificing one game
That's
or
a
one
great
day
point. That's a great point.
for travel, So you've got a short week with 3 days in between games and you're using one of them to travel. It's just a really hard thing. And if they were playing a lesser team, I could say they'd overcome it. But I think Kansas City's really good on both sides of the ball this year. They certainly looked it last week against Houston. So I'm going Kansas City. Vegas sees this as basically a push. They've got Kansas City, the home team, favored by 3, means they see him as roughly equal on a neutral field. So my mind, there's no compelling reason not to go with the home team on a Thursday game in this case.
Yeah, and that's a really good point in terms of, you know, the road game on a Thursday night. I didn't even actually consider that when I made my pick. I picked Kansas City as well. But that just makes me feel a little bit better about it. Even it's funny because we do the weekly picks at SB Nation, and every single one of our guys, we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 guys, everyone picked Kansas City, which is
really
a little disconcerting, I guess, maybe, but because maybe like everyone's overestimating the Chiefs or something. But yeah, I went with that for much of the same reasons that you said. I think that Denver has a really good defense. I think maybe one of the top defenses in the NFL this year. But like you said, it's just still concerning to me what's going on with Manning. As soon as he proves people wrong in terms of his noodle arm or whatever, or until he proves people wrong, I'm just kind of going to have to assume that something is wrong there. You know, obviously last week I told you that I'm assuming he's fine until he shows anything otherwise. But this week was exactly what, you know, people were hoping didn't happen with him or wouldn't happen with him. And it kind of, you know, we'll see what happens. But moving on, I think that is an interesting game. But moving on to the weekend slate, we got what's up next? We got Houston at Carolina. Similar to the Kansas City Denver game, this one's a push as far as Vegas is concerned. The home team, Carolina, gets 3 points. Who do you have in this one?
Yeah, and this is just a game between two teams with, at least from a bettor's standpoint, there's no real identity to hinge your money on.
Right.
Houston looked totally lost last week. Carolina did too. Carolina had the benefit of playing Jacksonville, and you can be lost against them and still win, which they did. Houston's opponent, Kansas City, was too much for that. I look at this game and I see two pretty good defenses and two really undeveloped offenses, and that makes it tough. And the uglier the game, the more I lean towards the home team. It sounds like a bit of a cop-out, but until we learn more about these teams, I can't think of a reason to pick Houston to win on the road after the way they performed last week.
Yeah, and I'm the same way as you. I think I picked Carolina as well. This one, to me, is a little bit of a pick-em, and I think right now Ryan Mallett is the wild card. He obviously came in last week and did pretty well against Kansas City, and you know, potentially that could be a big factor in this game because, yeah, Carolina's offense was non-existent. It's probably not going to get much better this week. If you looked at – I don't have Cam Newton's line in front of me right now, but it was pretty bad as far as I can remember. And that's kind of to be expected. He didn't have really anyone to throw to other than, Greg Olsen and then a few like a rookie receiver and, you know, a few other guys. So, it's going to be an interesting one. If Carolina can run, that'll be good for them. But again, Houston, their defense is really, really good. So, could be an interesting game. Nonetheless, I picked Carolina at home, and basically the reason I picked them is because they're at home. So, moving on, we got Tampa Bay at New Orleans. I'm kind of guessing what you picked here. New Orleans is favored by 10 at home. So, you know, they're really a true favorite by a touchdown. What do you got here?
I have New Orleans, and I honestly think they'll probably cover that spread too.
Yeah.
New Orleans isn't a good team, most likely, but they're not a bad team. And Tampa Bay just looks like a really bad team. And they'll have growing pains, and I think Winston will be fine. They've got some really nice offensive players. That defense just has no clue. I mean, Marcus Mariota threw 4 touchdowns against them, and he doesn't have anyone to throw to. That's underselling it. Delanie Walker and Kendall Wright are good receivers, but nothing that, you know, they're not game changers. And Tampa Bay just looked terrible, and DVOA doesn't mean anything this early in the year. I like DVOA a lot as a predictive model, but not this early. But it's worth mentioning that typically the the best teams will rate out at about a plus 30 and the worst teams will rate out at a minus 30. Tampa Bay's DVOA after 1 week is negative 104.
Yeah, that's not good.
So I just think they're that bad. I wouldn't get cute on this one. And just go with the home team that's favored by 10 and with the proven players on it.
Yeah, I got nothing else to add. I got New Orleans in that game, but let's move on. This one I'm really excited to watch, honestly. I don't know what time it's on. Oh, it's at 1 Eastern, so it's one of the early games.
A lot of morning games this week.
This is going to be a lot of fun if you get it in your area. The San Francisco at Pittsburgh game. What do you got there?
I have Pittsburgh, but I would say this, 10 days ago, it looked like a much easier pick than it does now.
Yeah.
I think Pittsburgh's going to be very good this year. I think they've got a chance to go actually pretty deep in the playoffs. I have them as one of the AFC championship contestants this year. But they struggled without Le'Veon Bell and Martavis Bryant. Their defense is still very porous, and New England carved them up. And that's exactly what San Francisco did to Minnesota too. So it's tempting to take San Francisco on the road. But again, you've got a road team on a short week. They played Monday night. They're going into Pittsburgh where the Steelers play very, very well. I don't think San Francisco's as good as they looked last week.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Kaepernick did not look, even with an overwhelming running game, he did not look like the type of quarterback that is ready to win a game with those receivers. San Francisco looks like a team good enough to beat Minnesota. I don't think they're good enough to beat Pittsburgh on the road. I still think Pittsburgh's a very good team. Vegas is giving them 6, which I think is pretty generous, but I do think Pittsburgh wins this one.
Yeah, I picked the Steelers as well, but I deliberated over this one for quite a while. This is one of the harder picks for me this week. I think I agree with you. I think that San Francisco is probably not as good as what they looked in the second half. And I don't know, people watching that Monday night game, second game, after a while, maybe people tuned out, but San Francisco did not look that great in the first half. It was an ugly game until halftime.
Yep.
Obviously it's pressure in our mind when San Francisco kind of ran away with that. But it'll be interesting to kind of see what they do in Pittsburgh, if it's going to be like more what we got in the first half or what we got in the second half. It was obviously funny hearing Dilfer kind of, flip his shit about Colin Kaepernick. And it's cool that he did some of the things that Dilfer was talking about in terms of going through his progressions and whatnot. But again, he was still inaccurate at times. And he kind of, I think Davis Sue tweeted at one point, which just made me laugh out loud. He's like, Colin Kaepernick looks the same to me.
Yeah.
So, I think he's obviously developed in some areas, but he's still kind of that same guy in terms of you're going to miss some passes low. His footwork is a little off.
It's like I said Monday night. I mean, he plays like a golfer with nothing but drivers in his bag.
Right.
I mean, everything is 95 and high.
Exactly.
And, the thing, I mean, Dilfer was lauding Colin Kaepernick, but the stuff that he was lauding him for is only noteworthy because it was Colin Kaepernick doing it. If it was Matt Ryan or Tony Romo or even Andy Dalton, it wouldn't be a big deal that he was going through his progressions like that. It's notable because it's Colin Kaepernick doing it. And, so I don't think that was anything really that good. He passed really well on the move, passed really poorly from the pocket.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anything to make me think that he's taken a step forward as a quarterback. And if he's the same Colin Kaepernick he was last year, I don't see him beating Pittsburgh.
Yeah, and I think the one thing that worries me a little bit is the overwhelming vibe I got from Pittsburgh's defense when they played the Patriots last week was confusion.
Mm-hmm.
So that was a little bit disconcerting. And I know that we got a new offense here with San Francisco this year, and we haven't really seen it. So they could potentially break out some interesting stuff this week.
Carlos Hyde looks legit. The offensive line looked great.
Yeah, so to me, it's going to be a close game. I ended up going with Pittsburgh because they're playing at home and because I think that Ben Roethlisberger and the offense might test the Niners a little bit more than Teddy Bridgewater and the Vikings did in this last game. I think Bridgewater, obviously had a great first season, but he just did not look good in this game. So we'll see if it was either, if it was really the Niners doing that, or if he was just having an off night or what. We'll see. But for now, I'm going with the Niners. Next game up on the list is Detroit at Minnesota. This is another tough game to pick for me. I went with Detroit, which is, I think this was the lesser pick because they're on the road and they're not favored. I just like Detroit more than Minnesota at this point. I mean, maybe that's just fresh off of what happened to Minnesota against San Francisco. They just didn't look good to me. And I think Detroit, you know, obviously they jumped up to a big lead last week before kind of giving it up in the second half. But obviously, you know, we talked about this. The Chargers are a good team at home early in the season, especially. So anyhow, I picked Detroit. I think they'll be able to outscore the Vikings in this one, and that'll be the difference in the game. Who do you got in this game?
Yeah, you know, Minnesota is favored, and I picked Detroit as well. So this is kind of our first deep balls upset.
Here we go.
And this game is tricky because I see Detroit and Minnesota being pretty close to each other by the end of the season. But Detroit looked a whole lot more capable, I guess, than Minnesota did.
Yeah.
Detroit looked like a football team out there with an idea of how to play football at the NFL level, and Minnesota just didn't look anything close to that. And until they do, I'm going to have a hard time picking the Vikings over any decent team, and I think Detroit's pretty good. So it's tough to pick them on the road. I think later in the season, maybe I'd feel differently. But I think Detroit is just the better team with better players and a better sense of who they are.
Very well. I like that. That's, as you said, that's the first double upset pick I think we've had here on this podcast. So that's cool. And when I said,
didn't we both pick Kansas City last week?
Oh, yeah, you're right. That's true. When I said Detroit will outscore the Vikings, that's probably the most obvious piece of analysis ever. But my point was, I think if it gets into that situation that they're, you know, if it's a horse race or whatever, they're going to win that. If it gets into, you know, where the defense isn't really taking over. But anyway, moving on, we got another great game. This is an early game on Sunday, I should say. It's the Patriots at Bills. Right now, the Bills are underdogs at home. New England's favored by one. But obviously, you know, this is a really good game. Buffalo pretty much dominated the Colts last week, which Colts are obviously supposed to be one of the AFC's sort of dominant teams. Who do you got in this one?
Man, this was the hardest pick for me this week. And I went back and forth a lot. Yeah. So I'm going to kind of take you through my mindset before I give you my answer. Buffalo this year reminds me a lot of the 2012 Seahawks. And we're talking about a team with a extremely good defense that is somehow even better against great quarterbacks. And this team that I think shut out Green Bay last year in the late season win that basically gave Seattle home field advantage through the playoffs. They have stymied, you know, Andrew, you saw it last week, Andrew Luck. They couldn't get anything going, even with that new retooled offense with all the weapons that they have. Buffalo is really, really good at taking you out of what it is that you want to do. That said, I still think that there's no team in the NFL with a surer sense of who they are than New England. And that matters so much early in the season when everyone else is trying to figure it out.
Right.
And that's just the advantage that comes with having not only coach and quarterback together for over a decade, but ones that are that good. I mean, it really is so, so important. That said, I think
I'm trying to guess on what you're going to choose here. I have no idea. So keep going.
Yeah. I had no idea what I was going to choose till about 5 minutes beforehand. I see this game as an absolute push in Buffalo and in New England. I would take New England. The Patriots are a 1-point favorite on the road, but I'm going with Buffalo just because I believe so strongly in that defense's ability to take away what it is that you do best. And I think that the Patriots are going to have to score more points to win this game than Buffalo will let them, which, again, sounds obvious. But
no, I know what you mean, yeah.
You know, New England's used to scoring 4 touchdowns a game, and I just don't see any way they do it.
Right.
Regardless of the history they've had against Buffalo. So I actually have Buffalo in this one.
Yeah, I also have Buffalo in this game. I think, you know, I really, really like that defense. I think that New England's going to try to attack it kind of like they did against the Seahawks in the Super Bowl, not to talk about that game. But, you know, they're going to do the quick passing game. Rex Ryan, blitz-happy guy, obviously. That front seven is really good at rushing the passer in Buffalo. So I don't think Tom Brady's going to have a ton of time. Obviously, he's got some young guys on the offensive line as well. So I think they're going to probably try and do a lot of what they did against Seattle, where, you know, they do like some receiver screens, quick passes, try and get Amendola and Edelman really involved. And then, but I just think a healthy Buffalo defense is better than the defense the Seahawks put out in the Super Bowl. You know, obviously I think the healthy Seahawks defense is probably better overall, but right now Buffalo doesn't really have any holes in their defense, I don't think. So,
right.
Especially since they're at home, I'm going with Buffalo. I wasn't super impressed with New England's defense last week. So, like you said, I kind of think it's the most obvious thing, but I think that New England won't be able to score enough points to win this game.
Yeah.
So that's kind of how I feel about it. But, you know, these are always crazy divisional games. You never know. Like you said, it's kind of a push. New England's favored by one on the road, which is, you know, really, really kind of just close, pick them close. I mean, obviously as close as you can get to a pick them, but yeah, I'm going with Buffalo on this one. They didn't fail me last week and I'm going with them again. Moving to another good game. This, like Jackson and I talked about this before the broadcast, this is one of the toughest weeks to pick.
And it's so hard. It's so hard because you don't know how much weight to give to what your preconceived notions of a team are and how much weight to give to their performance last week because of such a sample.
Exactly. I think this feels like a widow maker type of week where, you know, I went 12-4 last week. I'm probably going to go like 7-9 or whatever, you know.
This has well, if you go 7-9, it sounds like I'm going to go 7-9.
So this one, we got the Cardinals at Bears. Who do you got in this one?
Yeah, you know, this is a game that Arizona's favored by 1.5. I was actually surprised to see the line that small. Mm-hmm. But Chicago also played a lot better against Green Bay than I figured they would. Right. I thought they'd get thumped pretty good, and they didn't. They were right in it, lost by 7. Ran the ball extremely well. I think like almost 6 yards a carry against Green Bay. Seahawks have always had a ton of success running against Green Bay. So I don't know. Chicago didn't look as bad as I thought. That said, I think Arizona's good. Arizona's won 7 games in a row that Carson Palmer has started. And that's a crazy thing, you know, and that's beating some pretty good teams. They looked really good last week against New Orleans. I think Chicago's worse than New Orleans is. I don't see any reason Arizona will be worse than they were last week, other than Ellington being out. But I'm not as high on him as some other folks are.
Right.
Again, I think that's a team with an identity playing a team that doesn't have one. And I've got Arizona winning this on the road.
Okay, well, this game was really tough for me as well. Talking to some friends about this, Mina Kimes over at ESPN and a few other, you know, Twitter confidants. And, man, this is just a really tough one. I think you can really talk yourself into either team. So this is another place where Jackson and I diverge. I picked Chicago at home, even though they're the underdogs. I don't know if it's maybe just my bias leaking into this because I actually Chicago was one of the teams I thought before the season that might be a lot better than people think they are. I talked about them a little bit here and there, and I just kind of like them. I don't know why. I like that, you know, kind of their defensive personnel I think is better than a lot of people give them credit for. I like the new coaching staff that they've brought in, and I just think that they're going to be a lot better. Obviously, I think a lot of it comes down to Jay Cutler and who you get on game day with Jay Cutler because, you know, he's kind of the Jekyll and Hyde type of guy.
Good Jay Cutler can beat almost anyone.
Yeah, and he's maddeningly good at times, but he's also frustratingly awful at others. And so, you know, I picked Cutler. I picked the Bears in this one, but I could easily see myself being wrong in this one because I think that Arizona's defense is really good and they could stymie him a bit. But, you know, it's in Chicago. I don't think, you know, Cardinals, you know, obviously looked good last week, but I still don't really know how good they are. And I just think with the way that the Bears played the Packers last week, I'm just confident in them right now. So I picked the Bears in this one, and that's going to be another really good game to kind of keep an eye on as you're flipping in back and forth between games, or if you're on the Red Zone channel. It's another early game. There's only 3 afternoon games.
I know. I hate when they do that just because of Red Zone.
Yeah. So anyhow, that's one more where Jackson and I diverge. How many games so far do we have where we've not picked the same team?
I think just one this week.
Okay. Next up on the docket, we have – this one is one of those hard-to-pick games because two relatively bad teams. We've got Tennessee at the Browns. Who do you got in this one?
Yeah, it's just another tough one because, again, you don't know – what you've got.
Right.
Tennessee's the number one ranked team by DVOA after 1 week, which says more about how much to look into DVOA this early in the season
than
it does about the Titans. But they looked coherent and put together and did what they wanted against Tampa Bay. I'm not sure how many teams in the NFL wouldn't do what they wanted against Tampa Bay, but Tennessee did it, and they scored a bunch of points and didn't give up very many, and that's a good thing. So I might need to recalibrate my expectations for Tennessee this year if Mariota is the real deal, and I actually think he will be. But I still think Cleveland is a better defensive team. I think they've got I think they still have a better talent coming out of the backfield. But you've got Mariota versus Manziel, and that's just tough. Manziel just feels like a mini Cutler in the making, and I don't know what to make of him. I'm picking Cleveland at home just because I still think they're a middle-of-the-pack team against a lower third team, and I'm going to take the home team in that situation just about every time. Yeah. But, I mean, Manziel could go out and go 6 for 21, you know. I mean, it's
right.
It could be really ugly, but I am taking Cleveland in this one.
Nice. And, you know, this was another one that I had to think about for a long time. Well, not a long time, but it was one of the ones where you kind of pause and look into some things and trying to figure out, you know, how one team is going to have an edge over another. I think obviously having Cleveland play at home, that's big for them. And that's going to make things hard for Tennessee here. It was kind of a big surprise to me, not a big surprise, but it was surprising to me how bad Tennessee was last year. I don't think they were as bad as their record. I mean, I think they were maybe the bottom third of the NFL, I should say, in terms of the teams, but I don't think they were 2-14 team necessarily. So I actually, you know, just based on how they played in week one, the difference it makes to have a, you know, quarterback knows what he's doing a little bit and can make some passes. I picked the Titans. But again, I don't feel very strongly about this one. They are favored, which is a little bit surprising. But I just went with the Titans because of the quarterback situation's, you know, looks a little better at this point. Obviously, Manziel looked good at times last week, but I still don't trust him to do that every week. Not that we know a lot about Mariota as well, but just based on his, you know, personality, his track record in college, he was very steady and kind of consistent. So that's the reason I went with Tennessee. It's more of a gut pick than anything.
Yep. But lots of those this early in the season.
Yeah. Next game, you know, same deal. This was a hard one for me to pick. San Diego at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's favored by 3 at home, which means, like you said earlier, it's basically a pick 'em in the eyes of Vegas. Who did you have in this one?
I've got Cincinnati. I like San Diego. I just like Cincinnati more. I think if you remove the quarterback from the situation, and I don't hate Andy Dalton, but I think he kind of defines the league average quarterback. I think it's a team that can compete for a Super Bowl with the other 52 guys on their roster.
Right.
They're extremely deep with a ton of high end talent at a lot of different positions. I mean, this is a team that can do a lot of things to throw you off of your game. And really when they've lost, it's been because Dalton has a bad game. When Dalton is okay or good, they win. That's just that's just how it is with Cincinnati. And San Diego doesn't strike me as a team that's going to necessarily make Dalton look bad at home. Right. Right. You know, the weather should be decent. He's got tons of weapons around him. That defense is good. Like I said, I like San Diego. They epitomize the 9-win team to me, but I've got Cincinnati at home in this one.
All right, cool. We got another differing of opinions here. I picked the Chargers this week. And, you know, I've talked about this last week. When it kind of comes to, you know, you
love El Bolo. Just say it.
I do. Oh, first of all, obviously, I love El Bolo. You know, I think he, especially against a team with like the Bengals, who have a good front line, who can rush the passer. He's the best quarterback in the NFL in terms of a muddy pocket, I think. Like, just throwing the most absurd passes where you can't even barely see him. You know, just throwing passes out of that. I think that that's part of, like, in the front of my mind. I also think having Ladarius Green kind of emerge as, like, a real good threat for him last week. Obviously we talked about he might not even play last week. He ended up playing. He had at least one touchdown. I didn't see his final stat line, but you know, he looked like a real nice, viable threat for him at the tight end position. I think that's big for El Bolo. I think he really likes to target that tight ends. Obviously, he's had that connection with Antonio Gates for so long. I actually want to say that him and Antonio Gates, you know, are among the, like, NFL history in terms of having the most connected touchdowns. I think probably Gronk and Brady are up there as well. And then there's obviously a few, you know, older players in terms of that. But I think just him looking at tight ends, it's like that's kind of his comfort food, you know, type of thing. And that's just like his go-to guy. So having him this week is big. You know, obviously I didn't look to see if he was on the injury report. So if he is, end up not playing, I'm going to look dumb here. But I just think that all things else relatively equal. I think obviously the Bengals probably are a little bit better on defense, but I think the Chargers are better on offense. And then everything else sort of evening out. I like Rivers more than I like Dalton. So that's kind of why I went with San Diego here.
Yeah, I just looked it up. They are, I believe, number 5 all time in hookups.
Yeah. And
they're number one. They're number one among active combinations.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's where he looks. Like, when he's in that pocket, that's where he looks. And I think that Ladarius Green, you know, he's not Antonio Gates, obviously, but he's very athletic, and he's proven himself to be a good player, like, so far this year. Let me just check real quick that he's not on the injury report. But I think, you know, he's kind of my X factor in this game. Yeah. So that's kind of why I went with them. Moving down the line.
It's worth pointing out that he's got some really nice other options. Keenan Allen had 15 catches last week. Danny Woodhead had 2 touchdowns.
Wow.
Melvin Gordon's touchdown was Cirque du Soleil. I mean, there are some real weapons that he has this year. Every year we just kind of think of San Diego as the same team that's 1 year older, but they're kind of revamping around Phillip Rivers.
Yeah. Yeah. They've got some talent on that offense. And like I said, I think they're a better offense than the Bengals. Although I do like the Bengals offense, I just think it comes down to the quarterback, and you just don't know who you're going to get with Andy Dalton. So, and if you look, I'd love to see the numbers on Phillip Rivers over the last like year or so, because I think it's probably really good. He to me, he's like the beginning of last year, he was the best quarterback in the NFL over the first like 8 weeks.
Yeah.
And then he kind of trailed off. And so, you know, we'll see how he does this year, but I'm high on him, you know, obviously. And so that was a big factor in my decision. Let's move down the line. The next game on the docket would be an interesting one, I guess, kind of, the Rams at Washington. The Rams are favored by 3.5 on the road. So who do you have in that game and why?
I'm picking the Rams because they're playing the Redskins.
And that's about all we need to talk about that. I think, you know, obviously I think Washington did better than they were supposed to do last week. But they did lose DeSean Jackson, which is a big hit for them, I think. And we all saw what the Rams can do. I think the Rams are going to be better than I thought they were this year.
They looked very, very good last week.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I was reading the Football Outsiders Almanac before the season started, and they have the Rams, I want to say, I don't have it in front of me, like 8 wins or something like that, which was predicted wins in that, or 8 or 9 or something. And it was like 6th highest in the NFL. You know, so they really like the Rams, FOA does. And I think, you know, it kind of goes like along with, they have a really good front 7. That defensive line is dominant. And I think some of their like skill players that they've drafted over the years are finally starting to kind of come to fruition. I think Tavon Austin finally starting to do what he was supposed to be doing 2 years ago. You know, he had 2 touchdowns against the Seahawks, which is not easy to do. Obviously, the Seahawks defense was a little out of sorts last week, but, you know, they were finally starting to use him in ways that made sense. And then, obviously, I think Nick Foles is better than I maybe was giving him credit for. I think the way he played against the Seahawks was outstanding. I think if you look at the numbers, first of all, I think that's probably the best game a quarterback has had against the Seahawks in a really long time in terms of stats. And then he was making throws in the face of pressure. He was throwing into tight like pockets, like that overtime throw, Stephen Bailey over the top of Richard Sherman and Earl Thomas was like about as good as a throw you're going to see in the NFL.
Oh yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And I'll say a big Nick Foles guy. I don't think that you can luck into a 27-2 touchdown to interception ratio at any point in your career, much less at the very beginning of your career.
Yeah.
And you know, that's Chip Kelly is the quarterback whisperer, but he's, I mean, you still have to have a lot of talent to be able to do that. I think that, I mean, he came in and was the highest rated passer in the preseason from the get go. He was the only guy that had a higher passer rating than Russell Wilson that year. In the preseason, he went out and was, I don't know if he had enough throws to qualify because he took over partway through the season, but he was the highest rated quarterback, I think, in the NFL his rookie year. And then all of a sudden, he kind of got hurt and was so playing hurt last year. And all of a sudden he's, you know, chopped liver. But I think Nick Foles is good. I think the Rams are a serious long-term threat to Seattle's NFC West dominance.
Right. Yeah. But on the other hand, for whatever reason, Jeff Fisher's teams tend to underachieve at times.
Almost always.
Yeah, and so it's always an interesting thing. Kenny and I talked to Joe McAtee, the editor over at Turf Show Times, last week. And for people who listened to that, who didn't listen to that podcast, he said, he goes, I guarantee you, this was before the Seahawks game, this was before the game last weekend, he goes, I guarantee you we will win this weekend, and then we'll lose next week at Washington.
Halfway there.
Yeah. So, you know, that's kind of
the Rams. Get this. The Rams were, I think, the only team in the NFL last year to do this. I think they might have been the first team ever to do this. But they had 5 double-digit wins and 5 double-digit losses in the same season.
God. Yeah, that's crazy. And they also had 2 straight shutouts last year, I believe. Which is so incredibly rare.
Yep.
It's hard enough to get one shutout.
Yep. You only see a handful of them in the NFL every year.
Right. And so anyway, they're a good team, but they're mercurial. Is that how you say that word?
I think so.
They're up and down. But they are talented, and I really like that defense still. And obviously they're going to get Todd Gurley back anytime now, which will be interesting.
Yeah, he practiced today, so he might be going.
So that's going to be interesting. I actually will be really looking forward to watching the Rams just as a, you know, as an NFL fan, because, you know, they have got so much talent on that team. Moving on, another tough game. God, this schedule is ridiculous. Falcons at Giants. The Giants to me look better than people expected last week, and or maybe the Cowboys aren't as good as we thought. But obviously that's a divisional game, and you just never really know about divisional games because, as we've seen in the NFC West, it's just always kind of a grudge match between division teams. They know each other so well. They can game plan for each other so well. This one's not a division game, obviously, and Dan Quinn had his players flying around on defense last week against the Eagles. It felt like they got like an injection of like enthusiasm and excitement, which is kind of what we expected from Dan Quinn. But again, the Giants are playing at home and they looked a little bit better than we thought. They've got some offense, offensive weapons, always kind of a threat with Odell Beckham and some of the other guys they got, like Victor Cruz and Reuben Randall and a few others, obviously. What do you think of this game? Who do you have in this one?
Vegas likes the Giants. I like the Falcons. Okay. The Giants are a 2.5-point favorite in this one, which means Vegas probably sees Atlanta slightly better on a neutral field. But I tend to buy what I saw from them last week. I mean, yeah. I don't know how much of what they did was fluky. Like, maybe it was a fluky defensive performance, but a Chip Kelly offense, no matter who's at the helm, is really tough to slow down. And
yeah.
They looked lost. They couldn't get anything down the field. DeMarco Murray had 9 yards. I mean, it was – I think that was like 9 of his first 11 completions were to running backs and tight ends. They couldn't get yeah. their receivers involved. Matthews couldn't get going. Nelson Aguilar, who a lot of people are really high on, only had 1 catch. And, you know, that's just hard to do. So if that defense is even – you know, competent, and they looked far more than that last week. I think Desmond Trufant is a great cover guy. You know, if he's on Beckham all week, that could be really interesting.
Yeah.
But on offense, man, nothing that Atlanta did was fluky. Julio Jones might be the best wide receiver on the planet.
Seriously.
You know, I don't see any way the Giants are going to shut him down. You know, their running backs are super fast. And when the passing game's clicking, it creates space, which is what those running backs need. I like Matt Ryan a lot. I like the direction Atlanta is trending. I still think New York is, you know, stuck in late 90s, early 2000s football. And I think that each year that goes by with Tom Coughlin there, they fall a year behind the curve. So I've got Atlanta winning this one.
Nice. I saw an Onion tweet today that was like a picture of like – Tom Coughlin in an assisted living elderly home. They were like talking about how the Giants put him into assisted living. I don't know why, but the picture was perfect. It was like a young woman leading like Coughlin down the hallway. But anyhow, I actually picked the Giants, and this one I don't really have any good reason other than the Giants are at home. This one's tough. I think. I don't even really know why I picked the Giants, frankly. I just kind of did. It was another one of those gut ones. I think they're a little bit better than I've given them credit for and anyone's given them credit for. And I still think Atlanta still has to prove that they're not the team from last year. I think week one was an emotional big win for Dan Quinn and his kind of new regime and everything. But got to see them put it together for a few weeks before I really buy in 100%. I agree with you. I think their offense is really good. Julio Jones is a freak of nature. He's only looking better, and obviously Matt Ryan's not afraid to feed him. So, you know, their offense is good. And I actually really liked Kyle Shanahan, what he's done with their run game. I've liked him for a while, but you know, I wasn't actually a very big fan of Tevin Coleman coming out, but he kind of maybe is proving me wrong. He looked really good in this game in week one against the Eagles.
He's NFL fast, that's for sure.
Yeah, and he's a perfect kind of fit, it seems like, because he's, you know, they talk about this is just a cliche at this point, but he really does take one cut and just get downfield. And
honestly, in that offense, you don't need Steven Jackson.
Right, yeah.
You don't need a guy that can just bang off of linebackers and D tackles all day because you've got nothing else going on offense.
Yeah. And so I guess maybe, you know, I was underestimating Tevin Coleman a little bit. Obviously, you know, playing for Indiana, who is not good, and getting that much production in college, he's obviously a talented player. I just didn't really know if he had enough, like, Zuzu or whatever kind of – he looked a little straight-line-ish to me when I was watching him coming out, but maybe that's fine. I mean, that, like you said, like, maybe that's actually a really good fit in this offense. So he looked good. The offense looks really good. You know, the defense was flying around, and I'm kind of almost talking myself out of my pick at this point, but it's too late. But I went with the Giants just because of the home factor and because they looked better last week than I think I was expecting them to look. So, yeah, that's why I went with the Giants. But, again, this was one of those ones I just didn't really feel strongly about. I kind of just went with the home team on that one. Moving down the line, we've got an easy pick in my mind, but potentially not. Baltimore at Oakland. Who do you have in this one?
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be Oakland's opponents until Oakland proves that they're ready to play in the NFL.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a decade and a half since they've been anything but bad. And there's just last week getting absolutely housed by the Bengals.
Yeah.
There's no reason to think that anything has changed yet. So I think Baltimore is a good team. I think they're kind of a 10-win type team. And that's going to beat Oakland almost every time, including this one.
Yeah, we don't need to spend any more time on that. I think that's plenty. I picked Baltimore as well. Moving down the line.
Oakland could be a sneaky backdoor cover against that 6-point spread, but that's about as far as this one goes, I think.
Yeah, I totally get you on that one. We've got the next game on the deck. Well, you know what? I don't want to say it too quickly because Oakland actually did give people problems last year at home. So let's give them a little credit. This could be an interesting one, but I still think the safe bet is going with Baltimore. We got Miami at Jacksonville for the next game. This one, for me, I went with Miami. Again, I think Jacksonville's just – they didn't do anything for me last week against the Panthers. Obviously, Carolina has a good defense. But I also think Miami has a good defense, so I don't know how much the home factor really, you know, figures into this. This one, to me, I just kind of went with the safe pick of, you know, you kind of first you look at who's at home, and if it's close, you go with the home team, and if it's not close, like, you just go with the logic pick. And to me, Miami is the logic pick in this one, and that's kind of why I went with them. What'd you get?
Yeah, I really like Miami this year a great deal, and I mean, if Jacksonville is not going to beat Carolina at home, I don't see them beating Miami at home. And again, that might be leaning too much on week one, but we don't really have anything that we've seen from Jacksonville in the last long time to override what we saw in week one. They kind of were what we expected. And, you know, they didn't even get a touchdown at home last week. So, I don't know. I've got Miami pretty comfortably. I wouldn't be surprised if they cover that 6-point spread.
Yeah.
I think that they're probably on neutral field close to 2 touchdowns better than Jacksonville.
Fair enough. Moving down the line, we've got the final afternoon game for Sunday. We've got Dallas at Philly. This is another really good, interesting one. Hard to pick. Divisional grudge match. You never know what you're going to get with these type of things. These types of things. Right now, we got Philly favored at home by 5. What's your thinking on this line? On this pick.
I like both teams. I think they're both better than what they looked last week. Chip Kelly has always been an exceptional adjustments coach. They don't lose consecutive games very often. I'm not sure that they've. I'd have to check. I'm not sure they've lost consecutive games since he got there. Either way, they certainly don't have consecutive bad games. And at home, this one's Philly to me. I really like Dallas, but I think they're looking for an identity out of the backfield. Again, they have 450 touches to replace with loss of DeMarco Murray. They don't have Dez Bryant. The defense is okay, but they give a lot of, you know, I don't know. I think Dallas later in the year is going to be a lot better than Dallas early in the year. I think Philly is one of the top 5 teams in the NFL, so I've got Philly in this one.
Yeah, I do too. I think if you look at the way that Philly played in the second half last week against Atlanta, that's really more who they are. And they're, you know, we talk about like figuring out who these teams, who they are. That's their identity. I think that's who they can be and should be this year. I think Sam Bradford probably just took a little while to kind of get in a rhythm and get going, but Chip Kelly figured it out and they got him to where they, you know, want him to be in terms of getting to that rhythm. And so, I think it hurts a lot, like you said, to have Dez gone for Dallas. I don't know if they can keep pace with Philly in terms of scoring.
What do you make of Byron Maxwell and Walter Thurman?
Well, I don't think Maxwell's as bad as it made it look.
He might as well have not been on the field. Was it like 10 targets and you have 9 catches for 150 yards or something like that?
Yeah, something like that. He was just not having a good night out there.
A lot of that's Julio. And I really like Maxwell and Thurman, but is it something about that defense that just exposes corners to stuff they can't handle? Because that's the whole knock on Kerry Williams, is that he gave up so many catches when he was in Philly, but you watch that secondary play, there is like no teamwork. There's no cohesion.
Yeah, I mean, and I talked to the Gangrene Nation, or no, not Gangrene Nation, the Bleeding Green Nation? I don't know. The Philly blog for SB Nation, I'm blanking on it. I think it's Bleeding Green Nation. I talked to them right after they got Maxwell, and I said, I think he's a really talented corner as long as they kind of use him in the same fashion that the Seahawks use them. And I don't think they're really doing that. They're asking him to be a number one, follow him around. I don't know if they used him on the inside or not, but he obviously was toast on a lot of plays. The big one down the sideline where he was like chasing like Julio about 5 yards behind him, he just missed his jam by a lot. And that kind of was what happened. If you miss a jam with him, like you're already dead. So I think, he'll be better than he was this season than he was last night. I think, I still think he's a really good player, but I think the Eagles defense, for whatever reason, at least, the early returns are that he's going to be more exposed than he was in the Seahawks system, just based on the way they use him in the scheme. And I don't think they're going to use him like he's like a Patrick Peterson, like a number one. Whereas I think in Seattle, it was like, obviously he stuck to one side and had very strict rules and all that. And like, to me, this is a lot more wide open, but I don't know enough about their scheme really to be really in depth about it. But obviously the early returns are, they weren't using him as the Seahawks do, I guess, cause he was all last year, it was all about, you don't get beat deep. That's the Seahawks mantra. So it's a different personality and style. And so maybe that's why, because he just got beat deep a few times. I don't think he ever got beat deep here. I mean, maybe like one time against
it just didn't happen. I mean, and the thing is, I don't think that he's bad. I mean, Earl Thomas, whenever he was asked about Maxwell, he used this phrase. He said he gets lost in the game. He's so dialed in to his response. Needs to do that. He's almost like so in the zone that they have to shake him out of it just to talk to him. I think that he's really good. I think there's something fundamentally wrong with the way they play pass coverage over there.
that's definitely possible. But I'm sure, like I tweeted this, I'm sure the Eagles fans will be totally forgiving and love him regardless. moving down the line. Wait, sorry. Did we actually finish that? You picked Philly. I picked Philly.
Okay. No, it's finished.
Yeah, I like the home team in this one. I think I don't know. I'm not sold on Dallas yet. I think obviously they got the win last week, and they're still going to be a good team to me. But they haven't, they didn't really run that well. I don't know if they're the same team as they were last year, and I think their defense is probably maybe not quite as good either. So that'll be interesting to see what happens with Dallas. But yeah, I picked Philly in this one just because I think if they show up and play the way they played in the second half last week, that they'll run away with this at home. And that line, I could easily see them covering that one. Mm-hmm. Moving down the line, this one's tough. Obviously, Seattle at Green Bay. Green Bay is so good at home, and Aaron Rodgers, I don't think has thrown an interception at home since like the 80s. So. This is a tough one for me. I ended up picking Seattle because I don't think Green Bay looked all that strong week one, even though they did get the win. Obviously they didn't overwhelm on the road in Chicago. That said, it was almost like kind of like how Seattle should have won really in St. Louis, but they ended up kind of choking at the end. And then Green Bay did the opposite, and they kind of took the lead at the end and held on to it. So the long and the short of it is I think the Seahawks can run on Green Bay. Their run defense is really suspect, and I think that's going to be the difference in the game. I think their defense is going to be better. I don't think they're going to miss quite as many tackles, and I think they're going to work out some of the communication issues they had in week one, and that's going to be the difference in the game. I still think, you know, I'm not banking on it, obviously, but I didn't feel super confident making this pick, but I just think, you know, the way Seattle's played Green Bay and Aaron Rodgers in particular in the past, I think that they're going to get away with the win here on the road. What do you think?
That's certainly what I'm rooting for. I've got Green Bay in this one.
Okay.
It was a tough one. Obviously, yeah. I'll wear the heel hat for our audience, and you know,
this isn't about being a fan. This is about getting them right. So
that's what we're here for. We've got the rest of the week to be fans. My goal is to be as accurate as possible. And if Cam was in the fold, I would feel a lot better. This is an interesting matchup because Green Bay is like the opposite of St. Louis in terms of how their team is constructed. They don't defend the run well. Their defensive front is probably the weakest part of their team. But on the flip side, their offensive line is awesome. They have the best quarterback in the world. Randall Cobb is probably a top 10 wide receiver. James Jones picked up right where he left off with Aaron Rodgers last week, catching all four of his targets, two of them for touchdowns. Eddie Lacy is very good. It's interesting. Aaron Rodgers, Seattle yet. He's 0-3. But all three of those games have been in Seattle, and you could make a case that two of them were fluky. He hasn't played great in any of them. In fact, he's been very below average against Seattle in his career. But there was the quote-unquote Phil Mary game, and then, of course, the NFC Championship game. Strong cases could be made that Green Bay, you know, hate this word, but deserved to win the game. And I think that in Seattle, I'm probably picking Seattle. But we knew going in, they could be staring down the barrel of 0-2. And if I'm right on this game, you know, I don't even know that I'm going to bother checking the comment sections on field goals all week. But I will say this. If Seattle loses, as long as they're competitive, I am not concerned about them long term. I think overall they're a better team than Green Bay. But I think right now Green Bay is better. I think Seattle will work out their issues, but there are a lot of them to work out. Offensive line communication was really bad. I mean, you had a lot of time where you had two offensive linemen blocking one guy and one guy coming totally free. Couldn't establish the run. And, you know, defensive communication obviously struggled. If anyone can find a weak spot in a defense and exploit it, it's Aaron Rodgers. Deion Bailey appears to be that weak link right now. The linebackers didn't play very well last week either. All of these things are fixable, but that's a lot different than fixing all of those things at once. And I think they would need to fix almost all of them to beat Green Bay in Green Bay. I hope I'm wrong. I still think Seattle's the best team in the NFL, but I have them losing this one.
I want to ask you something. You might not know this off the top of your head. When was the last time the Seahawks were not favored?
I was wondering the
Super Bowl potentially.
What's that?
Super Bowl, they might have been not favored.
I think they went off as a 1-point favorite in last year's Super Bowl, and they were actually, I think, 2-point underdogs against Denver in the Super Bowl, and I think that was the last time. At least that would be
that's crazy. Yes,
that they were the last time. Well, retrospect, right? That was Peyton Manning's 55 touchdown season.
Right.
And they just beat the Patriots by a couple scores. So it's probably been since that Super Bowl and before that, who knows how long it had been. Yeah. So yeah, it's really rare for them to be the underdog, and they're giving Green Bay 3.5 in this one.
Yeah. I mean, I don't follow odds very closely. I'm trying to do that more a lot this year, obviously with this podcast, but it just doesn't, I just can't remember off the top of my head. Like when's the last time they were not favored? Like it just seems odd. I'm sure that's happened. You know, maybe it has happened. Maybe we're going to.
Honestly, this is how good Seattle is. This is what it takes for them to not be favored is coming off of a loss early in the season and going to play one of the three or four best teams with one of the best home field advantages. Like all of those things got to be in place. Cause on a neutral field, I don't know how many teams would be favored over them.
Yeah. All right. Well, moving on to the Monday night. So Jackson, just to recap, Jackson has Green Bay in that game. I pick Seattle. I don't disagree with any of Jackson's analysis, though. I think it's going to be really close and really tough game. At the end of the day, I went with Seattle because of the run game. But, you know, we'll see what happens. It's going to be a great one. That's the Sunday night game, obviously. The Monday night game is, to me, not very interesting, frankly, but we'll see what happens. It's the Jets at Colts. Who'd you have in this one?
I've got the Colts. Obviously, last week, the Jets won comfortably and the Colts lost comfortably. I think that's as much week one as it is anything. I think the Colts are in a similar situation as the Seahawks were, as an offense with some new pieces that is looking to gel, and they had to do it on the road against a top three front seven. So I think they bounce back. Just like if Seattle was playing the Jets this week at home, I would feel very comfortable about them winning. So I've got Indianapolis doing it. If Indy loses this game, then we can start talking about them being in some trouble. But I don't think that they are. I think they'll be fine.
Okay. And I picked the Colts as well. I think you're right. I think they're going to be better at home, obviously. I think they just are. And I think they'll figure out some of their issues. I like the Jets defense a lot. I still don't have much confidence in their offense. But that being said, you know, maybe they're better than we've given them credit for. We'll see. The Colts are favored by a touchdown in this one, 7 points.
Sounds about right.
Yeah. And yeah, so I went with the Colts to kind of round out all of our picks. Let's talk for 2 minutes real quick. What, a couple of games that you want to talk about against the spread. Do you have any in the front of your mind in terms of, against the spread picks?
Yeah, there aren't a whole lot of obvious ones this week. And, you know, I'll reiterate what I said last week. There's plenty of places you can go for against the spread picks on everything. I think betting every game against the spread is a fool's errand and a quick way to drive yourself mad. So we're going to pick 3 or 4 games each week to give you. Last week, if you followed my against the spread picks, you went 2-1-1 with getting the tie being the backdoor push from Pittsburgh in the opener. This week, I've got 3, and they're all road teams. I've got Atlanta beating New York, which means they'd cover the 2.5. Mm-hmm. I've got Arizona winning in Chicago by more than 1.5. And I do have Detroit winning in Minnesota, which would automatically give them the cover over that 3-point spread. So those are my 3 this week. If you were to do a 3-team parlay against the spread, those are the 3 I'd recommend.
I've got a couple as well. I think that Baltimore, I think you can take the over. I think they'll cover the spread at at -6. I'm not very good at the whole against the spread parlance. How do you even say that? They're going to cover the spread at 6 points, whatever.
Cover the spread works.
I also have the Rams covering in Washington. I think that would be a decent bet to take. And then actually the other one that I thought was interesting was San Francisco and Pittsburgh. You could see San Francisco cover that spread. They're down. They're
Pittsburgh's favorite. I was really tempted, on that one. Yep.
That could be one. I think that you could take the San Francisco covering. Those were my 3. I don't remember exactly. I have to start writing these down. I think last week I had Kansas City beating Houston. And then I would have to go back and look. I can't remember what I went against the spread. I'll add that into the post at field goals. But overall, you know, good week for both of us, I think, generally. You know, starting out, you went 11-5, I went 12-4. I think that's a pretty strong start. Our against the spread analysis was decent.
And, we didn't totally destroy our credibility, and we held our own. Our group as a whole did excellent. And you know, it just occurred to me as I looking through the games that I chose to cover the spread and how last week I picked I think almost exclusively road teams to cover the spread too. Here's what's so weird about the first 2 weeks of this season and why picking seems so challenging. The better team is on the road, or what we would assume is the better team, is on the road in almost every game through 2 weeks. Mm. It is very rare that the consensus more talented team has been the host so far this season, and that makes it really
that makes betting against the spread super tough. So yeah, that's interesting. All right, well, you know, that's all I got. I think this was a lot of fun talking about this game, this week's games. I'm actually really excited about this week. I think there's some really good games. Not only the Seahawks game, obviously, but it's going to be a lot of fun watching, you know, all day on Sunday. Also, the Thursday night games should be really good. Yeah, just a lot of good football this weekend. I can't wait. So,
yeah.
You know, for Jackson, thanks. I'll just say thanks for listening. You know, hopefully you guys did well in your pools this week, and hopefully some of our thoughts will help you win your pool this week. And yeah, just go ahead and make sure you fill out your picks at our Pick'em group on ESPN. I'll have the link on the post. Make sure that you get those in. If you haven't done it already, you can still join and kind of go week to week. Obviously, you're a little bit behind on the total.
If you've already got a Pick'em thing going in ESPN but haven't joined the group, it is an open group, so you can just enter the group and you'll get whatever wins you got last week.
Perfect. There we go. All right. So, so for Jackson Bevins, I'll just sign off. Thanks for listening and tune in next week and subscribe on Field Goal or subscribe on iTunes. It's called Deep Balls for Field Goals. I'll leave the link. We're still figuring this shit out, but, but yeah. So anyways, thanks again for listening and Danny and Jackson signing off.
All right. Later.